let's all stand and sing.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround shadow in the light of you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, then I worship you.
Love him this morning. My, it seems like the meetings are just gone by so fast. Man, you've spent months and weeks preparing, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, it just blows by you. Amen. It's been good to just be here and just welcome each of you to the service this morning. If you're joining by way of the internet, just pray that you create an atmosphere that the Holy Spirit would be welcome. I believe that God can touch you wherever you're at, friend. Amen. Let's sing that song, Majesty.
Majesty, worship His Majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Oh, Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem rings. So exalt, lift up on high. Worship His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Sing from the top now. Oh, Majesty, let's just worship Him this morning. Oh, worship His Majesty, and unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Oh,
Praise, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. I've heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare singing. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. Have come and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world and embrace the cross. So I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Sing, I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor. Let's give Him some more praise. If ever there was a man that deserved it was Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. So many times I speak to friends and colleagues at work, and you know, they'll want to talk to you about football stats and race car drivers. And, you know, they just spend so much time giving glory and praise to all these people that don't deserve none of it. I believe Jesus deserves every bit of that praise. Praise is what I do. Amen. How about you? Hallelujah. Why don't we give Jesus some praise? I like to sing that song, Every Day with Jesus. Maybe the key of F. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus. Oh, it's sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, oh, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. Jesus, oh, it's sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. Sister and my brother, He's everything to me. Oh, He's everything, everything to me. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. One more time now. Oh, He's sister and my brother, He's everything to me. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well. So spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me first and life abundantly. Come on now. Well, now I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Hallelujah. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. And it opens prison doors. It's a captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Yes, sir. Spring up, oh well. In my soul, spring up, oh well. Well, then my praise you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, I worship you. Hallelujah. You love him? Amen. Why don't we sing one more song before we change our service order? I'd like to sing that song, Do You Want to Know?
Do you want to know where I'm going? Where I'm going to you? Anybody ask you where I'm going? Where I'm going to you? Well, I'm going up yonder. Race until I see my Savior face to face. Sing it now. Oh yes. Oh, I'm going up yonder.
Just do that all day. Amen. We got a lot of hay on our fork today. We're going to give ample time to the requests that we have this morning. Don't have very many special requests, just a couple to mention. I'd like to ask Brother Aaron McGarry if he would be prepared to take these needs before the Lord and also to pray over the morning offering. We'll have our deacons come up just before we have that word of prayer. We have a special unspoken request for a young man that's needing a a touch from God today. There's no name here, but God knows who you are, friend. He knows what's going on in your life, and I believe He has the answer for you that you're seeking. Amen. So we want to remember that young man in prayer. God would deliver him. I have a special need here. It says pray for Sister Crystal Barlett. She woke up one morning and could not see out of her left eye. The condition is permanent, and she has lost a 20 to 30% chance of losing her vision in her right eye as well. She's only 40 years old and has two small children. And that's from Sister Hannah. Let's remember this sister in prayer. Man, I know a man that gave eyes back to a man that never had any. Is that right? I believe God can answer that prayer. Amen. Brother Aaron, would you come forward at this time and take up these needs? Brother Aaron, Gary, see you in the house today. Brother Jason Watkins, if you would come forward and pray over these needs. Are there any unspoken prayer requests by the uplifting of hands? Amen. God knows the needs on your heart, friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You ready to believe? These needs are nothing for the Lord. Listen, friends, whatever you have need of today, you can get it met right now. The devil, you know, he afflicts our mind, afflicts our bodies, and he has a right while we're in this world, but we have an overcomer that lives within us, and you can have anything you can believe for, anything under the redemptive, anything Calvary purchased for you can be yours right now. Let's pray. Father, we're coming to you with faith in our hearts this morning, for we know, Lord, that the Word of God was sent, Lord, to heal the people. We know that the Bible teaches us that the Word is health to all of our flesh, Lord. So, Father, today we bring these requests before you. With humble hearts, Lord, we ask you to look upon these cases, Lord, with compassion, moved by your great hand, and may there be great healing and deliverance. Father, so many testimonies could be given, Father, over year by year, service after service. You do the impossible, Lord. So we're looking to you today to do it once more, Master. May you show a special kindness to all of these needs. And Lord, just continue to bless the service, bless the offering that's lifted now, Master. The word that's coming, Father, may all things redound to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Jason. Let's sing that song just before Sister Elizabeth McGeary makes her way forward for a special, and then we'll have Brother Sam Rice right after her. I just want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place. Just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. Amen. You can have your seat. Sister Elizabeth, come forward and sing for us. Amen. Appreciate the McGeary's coming down to be with us. Amen.
walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy, and all of his love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, even his words could never contain how much I have been blessed. He sent his son for us to die on the cross, bearing our sins, redeeming the lost. He sent back his Spirit to those who believe, a fountain of life for others to see. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way could I count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for love divine. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. The word of the hour is my daily bread. It's always unfolding. I'm continually fed. It's my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The strength of my life when my enemies draw near. Oh, I have been blessed. He's the rock that I stand on in a troublesome day. In his presence he hides me. He shows
Brother Sam, if you'd come on forward, and we'll have the choir after Brother Sam.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song and will sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song and will sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty,
to the house of the Lord. It is an honor for us to be here today and for all of us to have you here today. And we are just delighted to welcome each and every one of you. And I just want to say it's good to have Sister Molly here today. Good to have Sister Carol here today. May God bless you and the Walkinchuck family from Alberta. God bless you. Good to have you here today. And Julian, back from France. God bless you. Good to have you here today as well. And may the Lord bless each and every one of you. And sorry if I forget or miss any of you. How many have enjoyed the choir?
Amen.
Amen. Glory. It's just been special to have them sing, and they've been practicing, and we appreciate them very much. Let me just say this at the beginning here, that we've got two young men that are not in the assembly this morning. They're out back, and they're working with the hog out there, and they have been working all night. As a matter of fact, last night, if you were snoozing, you were losing, because 2 a.m. they were serving eggs and fried ham. So anyone who was available, if you were snoozing, you were losing last night, but they're all ready to go, and they've been working all day. So it's Peter and Ben, and when you see them today, they're going to be the guys covered in smoke. then make sure you shake their hand. God bless you. We appreciate Sister Laura and our senior choir here, and I'll just back out of the scene here.
With me, how great is our God?
Hallelujah. Glory. You're going to wait. Wonderful. The Bible says that God delights in the praises of His people. I believe that's really true. Now, we are going to do something that's a little bit different. If you could bring up, Sister Haley, if you could bring up my PowerPoint, that I want to just show you very briefly here. And as they're bringing that up here, I want to say a couple of quick things. We're just honored to have our folks from Virginia here today. It's always good. Brother John, Sister Kim, God bless you. And each one that's here. Sister Kim is one of the primary caregivers for Sister Fulcher and slipped away this morning and came down. So we're just honored to have you with us today. I wanted to just say this, that this is a little bit unusual, you know, to kind of hold a dedication meeting to a fellowship hall. But it's, in a sense, it's a, you know, I guess we talk about a legacy that Brother Aaron talked about. Brother Luther was a very special person among us. And he was all in. When Luther was here, he was all in. And from the first day, I remember he and Sister Molly and Sister Marianne were here and stood in the lobby, and they came one of the first times, and they just looked at me out in the lobby and said, "I wish we had a church like this in Statesville. Why don't you just move to Statesville?" They were all in right from the very beginning. And their history goes way back, and I remember Sister Molly and her husband had a general store down in Statesville, down that area, and Sister Becky was in Statesville. Up in the mountains somewhere. But Sister Becky was a babe in the basket in services that Brother Fulcher held in their country store years ago. So that's the connection that we, you know, have with the Roys all the way back for many, many years. And with Brother Luther, like I said last night, you know, the fellowship that we enjoy here, the hall itself is really just a tool for us to use when we get together as community. Acts 2:42 talks about how the disciples in the early church, they broke bread together and they had fellowship and they had the teaching of the word back in their day. And so it's just a blessing to be able to have a place to do that. And Brother Luther loved it so much and enjoyed it so much, we thought we'd just name the building after him, like we named the playground after Brother Greg and the contribution that they made and our respect for them. But just wanted to show you a couple of pictures of Brother Luther that we have. And the idea behind the smoking is this smoker was actually Brother Luther's. And he owned it for many, many years. And the family donated it to the church after he passed away. And so when Brother Luther got his hands on a hog and smoked it, let me tell you, it was an event. That was a big deal to Luther. He just loved that and loved the fellowship. And this is his son Bob, who is with him. And some of the family may be coming after at the end of the service, and you get to meet them. And so the smoker that we're using is Brother Luther's. And the boys out there have mastered how to use it. And I've already tasted the hog. Let me tell you, it's you're going to enjoy lunch, that's for sure. But wherever he had a fellowship dinner, whenever the fire started, Luther was right there. And he just enjoyed every bite of fellowship and was a person who loved the community of the saints of God, loved music, loved to play. And I don't ever remember a day when we had an event here that Luther wasn't here and participated and just kind of jumped in, no matter how he felt and no matter how his heart was or anything else, he was just involved. Frontier Days and Apple Butter and whatever it was, Brother Luther was all in. That's just the kind of person that he was. So back in the beginning of the year, we broke ground on the fellowship hall, and we decided that this was a right time and a right place to do that, and with lots of planning. We have a very wonderful team of trustees, and Brother Ben McCafferty is our lead trustee, and just did an exceptional job in managing the whole project. And Brother Ben, stand up here if you don't mind. Just, I know he doesn't want me to do that, but there wouldn't be a fellowship hall, I'll tell you, if we didn't have... If we didn't have Brother Ben, just did an outstanding job and put in many, many long hours and helped us greatly to manage that project. And so As you know, we came to the place here on August 19th. We had what we called a soft opening, where we kind of broke ground and got in, had our first meal in there, and the rest is history. And so you're here today to help us to just pray over the building and enjoy the fellowship today together. So right after service, we have a number of people who are leaving. They got to go back. Our Texans, they got to get all the way back to Texas, and we just appreciate them coming. And several others have to leave. Brother Anwar and Paris had to leave to go back to New York, and different ones. And so right after the meal, we're going to give you a direction to go, and we'll assemble over there, and we'll have a prayer and a cutting of the ribbon. And then we'll eat, and the sisters are over there now preparing, and it smells good, tastes good, it's going to be good. And so we just appreciate each and every one of you coming today to be a part of that. So we want everybody to join in, put your feet under the table here and now, and put your feet under that table, and you'll be well fed by the time you leave today. We're going to have one more special. Sister Sarah and Mitchell are going to sing for us, so if they'll come on. And this is a special song for us, and then we're going to have Brother Paul come right after that. Brother Paul needs no introduction. He and his family have been a part of our family and part of our work here in Hickory for a long, long time. And we appreciate Brother Paul. We travel a lot and do lots of things together. We've done the Winter Youth Retreat. This will be year 27 for the Winter Youth Retreat, and we'll be holding it in Michigan this year. And the days of miracles not past. If Paul and I can last 27 years together in the same platform and have a lot of fun doing it. And our kids were raised from infancy at the youth retreat and came up all those years. And we've just enjoyed each other's company, and we appreciate them very much. So without any delay, we're going to welcome Mitchell and Sarah to sing for us this morning, and then Brother Paul.
There's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we call out to dry bones, come alive. Breathe, God, now breathe the breath, oh God.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have a little singing after our meal today. So when we're done with the lunch, then we're going to have, we have it already set up over there. So we got some singers who are going to play this afternoon. So we'll be able to fade out of our meeting, and everyone is certainly welcome to be there. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing Have Your Way. And we'll invite Brother Paul to come immediately and take the service this morning. Have Your Way.
Seated for 2 minutes. A couple things. I don't usually do this, but I think everybody would enjoy this. We have some of these here. This is our family's new CD. It's all hymns. It's 13 hymns. So I'm plugging that a little bit this morning because I believe everybody will enjoy that. They have them there in the back. A couple pictures from yesterday when me and Jack went for ice cream. I wanted to put that up. And the first picture, if you have it, Lucas. You don't have it? This was a real special time for me. Now, I just want to say, first of all, this picture here, I've been coming here over 12 years now, and Brother Barry has never let me know about this place right here. And this is a world-famous ice cream place, and he's kept it secret this whole time, but I found it yesterday. Jack and I found it yesterday, so this is utterly delicious, and this is the place we found. So this is a special time, and the next picture has Jack and I. No, not that one. This one, the next one. Jack and I enjoying that, and I promised him Friday we would go for ice cream, and if I had not fulfilled that promise, I guarantee you I would have been an utter failure in his eyes. So we wanted to meet that promise. When I went to pick him up, though, he had all of his friends with him. And so I realized I better take all of them with me. So I got my van, and the next picture shows all of us enjoying an ice cream together. So what a great memory we made. Enjoyed it very much. Jack is Brother Aaron's little boy. He's a special little boy. We just enjoyed doing that. Wanted to quickly mention to you that we are about 90 messages away from finishing the message in Spanish. We have been... We thank the Lord. We've been working on it about 5 years, and we have just only about 6 or 7 translators through the years, but it's really honed in now, and we're down to the early messages, which some of them are shorter, so we should be, hopefully by spring, we'll be finished up with that, with the base translations. And this has been a burden that I've had for many years, probably 25 years, and to see it done, it'll be just a great thing for the Spanish-speaking people around the world. So we're happy for it. We give God glory for that, and what a great work that God has helped us be able to do and is to be a part of that. And so I wanted to say quickly, on behalf of all of us visitors, we want to thank Hickory Bible for inviting us. We want to thank the pastor and congregation, and you have rolled out the red carpet for us and treated us so well and fed us so well. And I know many of you worked very hard to get the building and everything ready for us to come, so it looks so nice. It's just been very nice. We want to say, on behalf of visitors, thank you so much for such a lovely weekend. God bless you, the local congregation. And I also wanted to say that that the music and the choir, Sister Harwell and the choir, has just the musicians, and it's been a real inspiration and a blessing. They've done a wonderful job as well. So God bless you. Continue to do that. And we just appreciate their sincerity and the anointing that's on the music. We had Brother Buchanan and his family come and sing for us a few months ago. And we let them sing 3 or 4 songs their Sunday morning. Our church really enjoyed it. It was just a wonderful time, and they really brought the house down, so to speak, bringing some of that southern singing up our way. Us northerners need to loosen up a little bit anyway, and it was really, really helpful. You know, we get cold up there because it is cold, and so we appreciate them coming. And you know what? I'll just say this. God's doing a wonderful thing here locally. You locally here should get behind it 110%. You know, you should trust the body of Christ, trust what He's doing. Can you say amen? Amen. And you should find your place within the house of God and get in that and serve Him with all your heart. Don't be a spectator, because you'll want to, at the end of the day, you'll want to be able to say that I found my place, I found my part, I worked in that special atmosphere and I did my little part to the Lord. Don't be a criticizer. Can you say amen? If you can't feel comfortable, then maybe you need to pray about somewhere else to go because you should feel comfortable. You should be able to trust. You should be able to support. If you can't do that, maybe you should go somewhere else. I'm sure Brother Barry doesn't appreciate me saying that. But maybe he does. I don't know. But we're not trying to run anybody off. But listen, I say it to my church. I say, listen, you know, you got to go where you can support. You got to go where you feel comfortable. Can you say, man, you got confidence. Don't sit there and be a spectator or don't be a criticizer. Find your place within the body. Get in there with all fours. Can you say, man? And this would be a very good place. This would be one of the places in the message I would consider bringing my family to, because the good quality atmosphere here. If I wasn't doing something up there with the church, then this would be one of the places we would be. This is a second home to us. And so we have confidence in our brother. We have confidence in all of you getting behind what God is doing. And the rewards are on the other side. I believe there'll be many rewards, but what the local church has accomplished for the kingdom of God. And we're just happy to be a part of it and an extension of it. We're going to stand again, if you don't mind, and we're going to read a couple places. I was just going to read one place, but I want to read this other scripture so I don't have to go back to it later. We'll just refer to it, and I'm sure you'll remember the scriptures within it. We're going to John chapter 12. This morning we'll speak on the bride's final hour. The bride's final hour. John chapter 12 and verse 23. It is a privilege to be in the house of God today.
Amen.
It is a privilege to be a Christian in this hour. Amen. Such joy fills our hearts to know that we're part of God's economy and God, what He's doing in the last days. It's a great, grand privilege. John chapter 12, verse 23, and Jesus answered them saying, you remember this is just what we read yesterday. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life, life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And Brother Branham brought this scripture up, read this scripture, and sirs, we would see Jesus, and he says, Jesus did not answer by saying, you know, here I am, and you want to see this, here I am, because they couldn't catch it that way. They had to catch it by revelation. He says he's going to show them now how to find Jesus. And he says the way you find him is to die out to yourself and have a death in your life. And that's the only way to really see Jesus. Can you say amen? Seeing him in the flesh would do you no good. You'd still need a personal revelation of who he is. And so this is the scripture being that there has to be a death. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Now, two scriptures in John 16 and verse 21. We'll just read three here, verse 20, 21, and 22. John 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Amen. Father, we pray you'll bless your word. And Lord, this short time that we have to spend, we pray that something will be said. Lord, something that would come from your throne. Not from my intellect or my mind or my spirit, but Lord, something that is from your word, your eternal word, that would be a benefit, Lord, to everyone that's sitting here. We just pray you'll minister to us. And Lord, we enjoy the day of fellowship. We just commit it to you. But this time in fellowship around your word, we just pray you'll bless it and encourage each one. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I've been so blessed to be in these meetings personally. It's been a blessing to me to hear the brothers and the things that the Holy Spirit is teaching us and bringing to us. And how many believe you've been blessed to be in these meetings? And I hope that we have been tuned in real close to what the Holy Spirit has been saying to us. It's very up to date. It's very cutting edge, if I can call it that way. And it is amazing to me, the Holy Spirit, coming up to last night, drawing our attention to this dark hour, but showing us that this time that we're in these dark times, it's going to produce something wonderful in the bride. This one thing about God's trials and God's things that he brings us through, it always produces something. Even his correction always produces something. Can you say amen? I think it was Paul who said that our fathers corrected us in the flesh, and he said they did it for their own benefit, but he says God corrects us for our own good. God has our destiny in mind when he corrects us, so that's a good thing. And so I hope that you're listening, because the Holy Spirit really drew our attention last night to what can be produced through our lives, not only for the benefit of future generations, if God should tarry, but also to bring us into this rapturing faith and bring us into a rapture millennium ready people. There's a character that he's molding in us. And so it's how to live in this last hour to bring the final hour on. And I think it's very important to acknowledge that how we live in this dark, very dark time that we've been speaking of, it's very important on how to live in that hour. It's very important what our attitude is in that hour. It's very important that we allow God to accomplish what he needs to accomplish in our lives at this particular time, because I believe that brings us to the final hour. There's nothing worse than people with an attitude, well, I'm in the message, I came in the message 20, 30 years ago, and I'm not doing anything else, I'm just waiting for the rapture. I'm just waiting for the rapture to come. I've never understood that attitude. I don't think we should have that attitude, because we have to look at what God is doing to get us ready for a rapture. Can you say amen? I'm in, I'm a believer, I'm waiting for the rapture, I just can't wait to get out of here now, and that's the only thing we're doing. We're just sitting and coming to church and just waiting for the rapture. I just can't wait to get out of here and escape the IRS and escape everything else.
But what are we doing in this hour? What we're doing in this hour is an important and affects the final hour. When I expressed yesterday the dark times and the strange way that people are acting, that's not to bring us into a depression. Can you say amen? It's not, that wasn't my purpose in saying that. It's actually to show us the hour so we can understand the hour that we're living in and what God is doing in us through that hour. And so that we are not a people that's just become depressed to say, oh, Lord, I can't take this darkness anymore. I can't take it. Lord, come and take me. We shouldn't live in the past and we shouldn't sit around waiting for the future. But we should be catching what can be done now to bring us to that final hour. Now, we see some things in our scripture that we read here that's related to the bride's final hour. And Jesus uses the scenario or the type of a woman that comes into a labor. And I'm going to just spend a little time on this, not very long this morning. But and this may be very simple, but I learned a lot out of it, because if Jesus is using this type of a woman in the stages, but coming to this final stage, coming into her birth pains and the labor that she has to go through. I believe that the whole process of that, and Jesus bringing it up, and a woman bearing life like that has a very significant importance to us to look at. It's just one scripture, but it says a lot about where the bride, what she's come through under the Word of God and under the message. But also it says a lot to where we're at now, and also the final hour of the joy that sets before us. And so I want to take some time, because he says now when she comes through this process, then she reaches the end, and he calls it her hour. Her hour has come. A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow. And the reason that she's come into this new travail, or this pain that she's never experienced before, the reason that she's come to it is because her hour has come. Can you say amen? The hour has arrived for her for the deliverance. She's been bearing this child for 9 months, but the hour has come now. Her hour has come. I believe the bride's hour has come. I believe we're close. Can you say amen? And so the very reason that she's having these extreme pains is because her hour has come. Her hour has arrived. And that's a wonderful thing just to rejoice in right there. But if you go back to the beginning in a woman's life, and I'm certainly unqualified to talk about the pain that a woman goes through in childbirth and her pains, but we don't want a woman up here preaching it this morning. So I'll talk about it as best way I can, in the best way I can. The conception part, of course, of a woman, going back to the beginning, the conception is started by her being with her husband, of course, and we know that. In other words, she cannot produce life on her own. And that's a type of the bride that we cannot produce life on our own. Can you say amen? You can't bring eternal life on your own. You can't be in a rapture on your own. There's nothing you can do. This whole process began by His grace. And it began because you were with the husband, the Word, Jesus Christ. And you become impregnated with that Word of the day. Can you say amen? You personally become impregnated by it. That's why Brother Branham says that's the new birth. He says it's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. It's not a worldwide thing. It's a personal thing. You, what is it? You, conception takes place. You become impregnated by the Word that God sends for the hour. And that's what begins this process. It's an impregnation of the Word of God. And that's what begins it in a woman. She cannot produce life on her own. You can't, without being with Christ the Word and receiving His seed, there's no way that you can produce this kind of life. That has to take place. So now, even in a natural conception though, even though she is with a man, we realize it's the hand of God that determines whether she conceives or not. So I'm talking physically now. A woman can be with a man, sometimes even out of wedlock, which is an unfortunate thing. But because that law of life, in the natural law of life, if she's with it, she could do that. But you know, it still is in the hand of God whether she actually conceives or not. So once again, we're looking at our spiritual life. Can you say amen? This is all God's grace. If a conception takes place, an impregnation, then it's because of God's grace. I'll tell you, if this morning, if you knew that took place in your life many years ago or this week, you ought to raise your hand and say, thank God, because no conception can take place unless God ordered the conception. Blessed be His name. And so His hands determines whether she conceives or not. But the mother, when she conceives, God has allowed that. As a matter of fact, I think Brother Bram said in one place that the natural conception, the natural birth is almost even more supernatural than the spiritual birth. Because you're taking two human beings with God, with Mary. He come and put the seed within her. In other words, he put it there and it was a supernatural thing. But for two human beings to get together, he says it's even more supernatural. It's an amazing thing, procreation. And so we see then that once that takes place and God allows that conception, then the mother begins a life then playing a huge part. This woman plays a huge part in how she lives her life now because she has a brand new life living inside of her. She has a brand new life that by God's grace has been put within her and it begins to grow, but she has a very important part to play how that new life grows. She has a life, but now there's another life within her. Does that sound familiar to a believer? You have a life, but your life isn't quite as important as this life that He's placed within you. As a matter of fact, your life loses its complete, almost all of its significance, and you will rearrange this life. Everything changes. All things become new because there's a brand new life inside here. And you start making decisions based upon nurturing and bringing forth this life. I think I'm going to get it excited about this. Praise be to God. So now a mother, there's another life in there. And, you know, I could spend a lot of time, but we're going to get to the labor part. But, you know, I've always mentioned how my wife, we had four children. Three of them adopted because we couldn't find anybody to take the fourth one. No, that's not true. No, we had four children of our own. And I was a spectator watching all this. But, you know, we know that as Brother Bram talked about in a message and talking about our theophanies, he's saying, you know, she's feeding another life there. And so now a woman has different cravings that come that she didn't have before because there's another life. And it's really neat to see the different cravings that happen. We had four children and my wife had different cravings every child. Now that's unique, isn't it? Is that that's the proof that she never craved these things before, but now she's craving them. And I guarantee if you're a husband, you better get what she's craving. You know, and she wants it now. But this whole thing changes. She's never experienced this before. And a believer, if he's got a real birth, things change and he's never experienced things like he did before. Things are changing, can you say amen? And you get cravings that you never had before. Your desires have been changed. You desire to hear the Word of God, can you say amen? You desire to be in church. You never had that before, but now the craving is there. And it's not there because you mentally want to come to church. You've got another life inside of you. So she's into these cravings. And one time it was carrots, and I didn't really appreciate that too much. She was craving carrots, tons of carrots. So, you know, that, you know, I'm eating with her what she craves. That got old after a while. One of the children, it was seafood. We ate so much seafood, and that was pretty good. Seafood, constant seafood. And now today, she don't like seafood that much. It's too fishy, you know. That's her normal life, is that she don't like seafood. But when that baby come, I don't know if it's Gideon or Solomon, we were eating seafood. We were at Red Lobster every Friday. I mean, I could own stock in Red Lobster. We went to Red Lobster. One of the children, I don't remember who it was, but one of the children, it was such a blessed thing. She craved hot fudge cake from Big Boy. Brother Jason, you talk about a blessing. And just out of the clear blue, you know, and, you know, this is not my wife's normal life for her to crave hot fudge cake. I wish it was, but it's not. She doesn't, you know, she's all over me and she watches over me and she's giving me certain things to eat and backing off from the sweets, and I appreciate her help in that. But her normal thing is that she doesn't like sweets and she's not a hot fudge cake. And so now all of a sudden we get to church, she's asking, can we go to Big Boy and get hot fudge cake? I said, yeah, I'm in. Let's go. She did it one time, 3 in the morning. 3 in the morning. Now, I don't like to be woke up at 3 in the morning, but for hot fudge cake, I would do it. I'm all in. Okay, let's go. Let's get ready. Let's go. And a lot of times she couldn't finish the rest of her cake and I had to help her finish. That's why I'm in the state I am today. But her normal life is that she don't crave those things. You know, I can't use regular sugar for anything, you know, and Splenda's everywhere. And all these things. So, but you know, this is what happened. And her cravings. And Brother Branham brings this up. He shows how, spiritually speaking, your cravings change. Things change. If they haven't changed and your desires haven't changed, there's no new birth there. Amen? So, you know, we had a wonderful time and it was just a great thing, but we were observing how these things, and so now as we move along, we see that women of the world today, as Brother Brand pointed out about motherhood, women don't care. Some women don't even care to have children. God's made her a mother, but they don't even care. They don't want children. They want a baby, a dog, or something like that. Brother Brand brought these things out. Practice birth control, and so I don't want those snotty-nosed kids in my life. And so, you know, a woman of the world don't have that normal, natural way. She don't care to have children. And then if she does, it's a shame to see that the women of the world, when they conceive, she doesn't care at all about that life on the inside. In other words, some of them smoke and some of them take drugs. And when they take it, they know it's been proven it's going to hurt that life that's inside of them. And knowing that, look at the mentality of that. No care for that life and no natural affection for that life. A selfish life. A selfish life that only cares for its own life. But has no care for that new life that's coming. Well, whatever happens, I'm going to keep my habit. I'm going to keep taking my drugs. And you know how those kids end up being born with all kinds of different things. And it's been passed down because of what she did. And so we find women of the world like that. And they still do it. And they still have that. But a real mom, a real woman with natural desires and the natural thing starts to focus on nurturing that other life that's within her. And, you know, many of them, they even go to extremes. They'll stay healthy. They want to stay healthy. And they begin to adjust themselves and their lives to cater to that life that's within them so that it can grow normally and naturally and that it can come. We had a sister in our church just a few months ago. We're having a lot of babies come lately. And this sister, that's an assistant minister's wife, one of the assistant minister's wife, Sister Tiffany. And so now early on in that, she started to have trouble. And the doctor says, you know, it's not stable. And so they said, you're going to have to be bedridden. If you want this baby to come, you're going to have to do everything you can to just not be going around and doing this. So, you know, I watched a young sister. And she's got 2 other children, busy life. I watched her shut her life down almost and stay in bed most of the time. And it all became about that child because she wanted this. It was going to be a boy. She wanted this boy with all of her heart. But I noticed she was able to lay down all of her life. Everything that she was. She couldn't go anywhere for her husband. She couldn't make even many of the services because everything became focused. I want this child to come normally and naturally within the 9 months. I don't want it to come early. If it comes too early, it may not survive. Everything, she became consumed. How many seen a sister like that? How many seen women? It's something in their heart, and their life is not as important as the life that's with them. Oh, as believers, friends. As believers, our life, but Jesus said we should lose our own life. He that doesn't hate his own life is not worthy. We should hate. It's not about my life. It's what he's placed within me. Nurturing it. Making it healthy. Feeding it. Can you say amen? Making it grow. Can you say amen? So, you know, I just praise her for it. It was just a wonderful thing. We had many sisters do that, but she had to be real extreme. And here just a few months ago, they had little Joseph, just as healthy a baby as ever, come right on time. Can you say amen? You talk about the joy that's in their hearts, the husband and wife, and knowing that. But you see now, we know God's in charge. God is watching over that. But yet she had to do some things. She had to make decisions, as Brother Aaron was talking about last night, so capably, that we have a part in this, and we see what's coming, and so we're looking, and we're having an effect on what's coming. Praise the Lord. So, that types, of course, there's people on this earth that become impregnated by the Word of God, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's just a wonderful thing now. Today I'll talk about the final stages here. But we have many years now that the elect has come in, they've seen truth, and they just didn't, you know, mentally do something. This has nothing to do with that. This is not some mental exercise that I decided to serve the Lord. They become impregnated, actually, with the new life of God within them. And there's a people on the face of the earth that has become impregnated with the very Word of God. How many believe that? She's been impregnated by the Word of God this hour. And she, for years now, has been feeding herself because a prophet told her the Holy Ghost does not feed on entertainment. The Holy Ghost does not feed on fellowship. The Holy Ghost doesn't feed on, it feeds on one thing, and that's the Word of God. And there's a bride on the face of the earth that for years now has been feeding that life within her by the Word of God. And I say, praise the Lord! She caught the revelation. She's a woman that said, I know something different is within me. And so now she's made decisions to adjust her life. She's changed things. She wants to be in the right atmosphere for this life. She wants to be in the right church for this life to be nurtured. She makes decisions sometimes to leave certain atmospheres and come to other atmospheres because it wasn't contributing to the health of this life that was in her. So she's made decisions to pull out of a certain thing that was not a healthy atmosphere. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We've seen thousands of decisions made, and I believe God has a blessing and God has a final climax to these decisions in your life that have been made for years. Simple little decisions of people coming. I've had some to my church, and so they were in a place, and you know, they watched their young teens come up when they were, you know, 10, 12, 13, and they realized that the assembly that they're in, it's just, there was something about it, it wasn't gonna minister to their age, and so they made decisions to uproot and to bring their families and their young teens into an atmosphere they could be ministered to. Little decisions that were made, but now you're seeing the fruits of it. I tell you, God remembers those decisions. But why'd you do it? Because there's another life inside you. You died out to your own selfish ways to make a decision, not a selfish decision, but an unselfish decision. So she's been feeding herself and adjusting her life. And for thousands of years, mothers couldn't see. Naturally now, I keep switching back and forth from natural to spiritual. For thousands of years, mothers could not see what the new life was doing inside of her. It isn't until today that we have an ultrasound. Can you say amen? But for thousands of years, the woman had to do all of this and she couldn't see the life that was in her. She really couldn't see if it was progressing. She felt some kicks eventually. She felt something was inside her, but she couldn't see it. Back then, you couldn't tell if it was healthy or not, or where it was coming along. But so now, by faith, she's making these decisions without being able to see the progress that's being made. See, sometimes, friends, we don't see the progress that our soul is making. That's a life of faith, isn't it? And then we got a devil beating us up and telling us we're not even a believer, not even a Christian. We got all kinds of voices. We got all kinds of influences in this world. All kinds of things that be against us. And so then we can't even really see our progression, see where we're at all the time. But we're still saying, I know the decisions I need to make to feed this life and to nurture this life. So I'm going to keep doing it, even if I can't see how far I am. Is anybody listening here this morning? thousands of years, but now we get an ultrasound. Now we get a thing you can sit there and put the little button on the belly, and you know you can start to, oh, praise the Lord, you can see it, and the doctor can say if it's healthy. And this reminds me of the final hour when God, this hour God sends a prophet and He gives us little tidbits of what growth is. Natural types of spiritual. We got a spiritual ultrasound and stick that with that, what the prophet said, on our life and examine it and say, you know what? Praise God, I did those things. It looks like there's some progression in my life. Praise the Lord. As science advances, the Spirit of God advances in the people. Can you say amen? So we praise God for this. So we, you know, but for thousands of years, the women lived sacrificially by faith and they catered to something inside of them, feeding it when they couldn't see it. And so now in reality, to conclude in this part, a mother lays down her life for this life. She can't be selfish anymore. Now, when Brother Branham refers to this scripture in John 12 that I read, that we die to our own life and accept a corner of wheat fall on the ground. Remember yesterday I said, He had just said it's time, it's the hour for the Son to be glorified. We're reaching that hour. And then He turns right to the death that must take place. He's going to go in the ground. So there's everything I've been trying to say, there's an hour before the final hour, before He was glorified, that we go through that's an extreme hour. So now, Brother Branham comments, serves, we would see Jesus. He says it this way in one place. When he pointed these men to His presence, He pointed them in His presence. Christ pointed them to the truth. He said, how do we see Him? Was to go to the cross. There's where it's at the cross. Except the corn of wheat falls, it abides alone. And if he did not die, then he would have abided alone himself if he did not die. But him being the corn of wheat that fell into the ground, and then if it falls in the ground, he said, it'll bring forth abundance. If it falls into the ground and dies, first it has to be germatized grain, or it won't bring forth nothing. But it has to have life in it before it can fall into the ground. And He had eternal life in Him because He was Emmanuel. And He had to give His own life. You catching this now? This is how it works. He had to give His own life in order to bring forth that life again. Take like the wheat, you say, how could one grain of wheat? Here's what happens. One grain falls in, it brings forth 100 grains, and 100 grains falls in, brings forth 1,000 grains. 1,000 grains falls in and brings forth 1,000,000 grains. 1,000,000 grains falls in and brings forth a barge load. And then I'm skipping now further in the quote. He says, so if we ourselves then, in our ministry and in our thoughts and in our life, if we abide as we are, we can do no good. What a statement. What a principle, can you say, man? And it's not just Christ that had to go through this to bring forth more. It's us as well, as we heard last night. So now, if we in our ministry, my, it's good for ministers too, in our thoughts and in our life, if we abide as we are, we can do no good. We've got to also die at the altar or we'll live alone. We'll live to some denomination or some creed. We'll live to some organization. But if we die to ourselves, then the Holy Spirit will spread forth everywhere by our lips. My. We got to die. And so many today, so it is like now, we must realize that we've got to die. One place He says to die, that seed has to die and rot. That's our spiritual life. We gotta die and rot. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to our selfishness. Can you say amen? It's all about this life that He's placed within us. It's not about your life. This life gets adjusted in every way to this life on the inside. And He ends it by saying, we must realize that we've got to die, in order to bring forth new life. Praise the Lord. So we're in an hour, friends. It's time to die to our selfishness. It's time to die to our own plans and our own selfish wishes. This is the hour that we're in. It's time to die to our own personal opinions. Personal opinions, when they're placed and they're not word-based and they're placed within the body of Christ, tend to bind up the body of Christ. I'm speaking from experience now. Your personal opinions, and they're not word-based. You say, well, I got quotes, I got scriptures. Well, everybody that has opinion has quotes and scriptures to justify their opinions. But the sign that something's wrong, and I've watched this for years, is someone leans towards their own opinions, whether their background or what they've studied, and it's not in harmony with the balance of God's Word, it binds up their family, it can bind up the body of Christ, it can bind services as well. The people aren't free. There's not a freedom. And listen, every one of us sitting here this morning and under the sound of my voice on the internet, we're called where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. Not worldliness, not compromise, but true freedom. Every individual does not need to be bound by anything this morning. You need to be a free individual. Free to lift your hands. Free to worship. Free in your spirit. Free to be who you're, be yourself and be how God made you. Can I get an amen this morning? This is not the hour to be bound, even though we're in a dark hour. It's not an hour for you to be bound by your own opinions or bound by other man's opinions or bound by the darkness or bound by a spirit of lust or bound by pornography. God has sent the word to set every one of us free. And if you're sitting here this morning bound by whatever it is, I'm here to tell you, you're not supposed to stay in that state, but you can leave here free in your spirit. That's the way it's supposed to be. Somebody say praise the Lord. Blessed be His name. And so, if your opinions, just look at your opinions. If your opinions put you almost alone in your opinions, as Brother Ben says, your own life, you're alone. That's not Christianity. You see? Eternal life is living for others. So now the more and more your opinions grow with you, and you start justifying by scriptures or whatever else, look at the sign that you're being more and more alone. You're bound, but you're more and more alone. That's not what works in the body of Christ. Because we lay down our life not only for Christ, but for the body of Christ. We lay down our own personal opinions sometimes for the betterment and what the work of the Lord is going on in the body of Christ. Can I get an amen this morning? It's exactly right. And so now, opinion should be respected, and each one, if God's bringing something out of somebody, then we want to respect that. But watch the characteristics. If you come and you become alone in your own opinions, and it puts most of the rest of the church, if your opinions bring you to the opinion that it places most of the rest of the church and eventually most of the rest of the message wrong. Then you need to examine your opinion. Because something wrong with that picture. That God would show you something. God showed me. God gave me quotes and everything else. But all of a sudden now it places everybody else, most people in the church and most people in the message, and it places you alone, that everybody really needs to come and get my opinion because everybody's off track with this. And more people are getting off track with it. Solomon, I'm just relaxing. That's all I'm doing. We are to die out to us and let our opinions be corrected always by the Word of God. I was talking to the brothers yesterday. It's what I appreciate about Brother Lonnie, you know. You have young teachers coming up sometimes. They can't be corrected. They're going to teach something that's the absolute and they never have to visit it again because they've made an absolute. This is it. This is how it is. This is what it is. And you got an old brother like Brother Lonnie who's grown old, and I would have conversations when he was older in the ministry, and you'd hear him say, I say, what about this thing that you're teaching? He said, yeah, I always felt that way, and I always taught it that way till the Lord come around the other day, and He corrected me on that. Yeah. And so he adjusted himself and just made it a little bit more perfect. Sometimes more perfect, but just correct. He said, I've always thought that, but the Lord corrected me. That's humility. That's an old man, not a young man. But young men need to be that way. And so it places you in a place that I'm alone and, you know, and everybody else is getting off track. I'm leery of that because that's not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit's working in a body. Where's Jesus? He's in his body. Christ is in his people. You say, well, there's flesh there too. Oh, I know there's flesh there. But this is the miracle of it. Divinity put it himself in humanity. Recognizing the divinity that's in humanity. This is the mystery of Christ. So yeah, it's going to be difficult to look past the veil. But if they've got the Holy Ghost, they have something to contribute to your life. Amen. All right. Well, it was a little bit subdued in your response, so I'll get off of that. Praise the Lord. So when you hate your life by itself, but love His life, then you're getting into the right place. That's what the Bible teaches us. Can you say amen? So now this woman gives this attention. Man, I've got to get going here. 5 after 12. This woman gives her attention for 9 months. The bride has been adjusting herself all these years to this life that's within her. And you've been laying down your own desires to make decisions related to that result. Making hard decisions to get yourself in the right atmospheres so that life in you can thrive. Friends, we're not meant to survive. We're meant to thrive. Your family and your life and your personal walk with God is not supposed to be just surviving. It's supposed to be thriving. So you make decisions to get yourself in an atmosphere where you and your family are thriving spiritually. So for 9 months she does this, and then it reaches close to her hour. It comes to what is called her hour. This is the bride's hour. How many believe that? We've reached her hour. And but just before her hour, we find that it is this labor pains that take place and increase. She didn't have this all along. She had feelings and different things going on, some pains. But now, oh my, she's coming close now. And she goes into what Jesus said, this woman in travail, birth pains. And so it speaks of the travail and the dark time that we've been preaching about, the labor, the sorrow, this dark hour that she goes through. I thought of the pain of a woman coming into child labor in those last few moments, whether they be days or whatever, she's coming into that labor. And I thought of that, how this pain and this hour we live in. And I won't go say it again, but I elaborated yesterday on it. We're in a different hour. We're in a different time. This pain and this trial and this hour is different than we've ever experienced before. And that's the same with this woman. You know, a woman can have pain her whole life in different areas and different problems. She might cut her finger, right? But this pain is a different pain. Can I have a witness from all the women? Okay. We're all going to have pain, and the woman has it. But this labor, this pain, this particular pain is something she's never had before, never quite unique like this. It's an extremely difficult thing to go through. And so now it's not like this. And that's why I say we're in a different hour. We're in a different time. It's a different type of trial now. Why? Because we're getting close to deliverance. And so here she comes, and the woman would have different pains her whole life, but now this is a different. And I just got to thinking of it's different when it's bringing forth new life. The other pain didn't really produce something like this. I thought of the last few years and the change in the hour and things that I've observed. We have some pressures like never before. There's hundreds of examples I could give. But just think about the hour there. Think about this for a minute. And I know this is just jumping right to a real extreme thing. But it's extreme because we're living in the times of extreme. Think about this. A parent, this happened last year, parents come and say sorry to their children for raising them in the message. It happened. They're sincerely apologizing that we raised you in a cult. And we're praying that you come out of this cult. And they raised them all those years in the message. And now they're apologizing. We've never had that before. So now I'm not going to get into, because I'd probably take 15 minutes very strict about preaching on a parent that does that. They're just deceived. There's something wrong there. But I'm not going to talk about them. I'm going to talk about the recipient. The child or the young adult or the young married that's receiving that type of statement from someone that's as significant in their life as their own parent. We've never had that type of thing before. I'll tell you, if you didn't have the seal of the Holy Ghost, it'd be difficult to process that mentally. Because we're human beings. We love our parents. We're trying to process all that. I watch young people today and they see things going on. And I'll tell you, they try to process all this and these splits and churches and all these other things. I wish they didn't have to see it, but it's the hour. Can you say amen? Sometimes parents can be wishy-washy. Thank God for strong parents, as Brother Aaron said last night, to lay their lives and their family life in the Word of God. Thank God. But we don't have all that. Sometimes you have parents that are going to church. I've had them myself. They're bringing their church to kids, their kids to church, to my church, for 15, 20 years. And daddy's not on board. So as little kids, they don't pick up on it. But as they get to young teens, they put, hey, daddy doesn't say it, but they can, daddy's not on board. Daddy's not in support. Why does daddy attend here? Sure, quiet in this building this morning. These ain't things I've come up with. This is what I've experienced. You talk about the damage to a child to come to a church and the head of the home, they know eventually that he's not in full support, that he's constantly criticizing it, and yet he still attends there. I say get your family in a church where that daddy can say, listen, this is the man of God, and he's a human being, but he's God's man for our lives, and we support this place 100%. Let your kids see that loyalty to the work of the Lord. You tell a child trying to process these things. And that's why I say this pain, this labor, this time we're going through is a different pain. Like I said, I say a lot more about it, but just take that example, because these are real things that take place. The receiver of that, it's hard for them to process. You would have to be sealed by the Holy Ghost to endure that kind of mental intimidation and persecution. That's a spirit that has lost even common respect for the message. Many things like that going on in this deeper darkness that we're in. But if she comes to these final labor pains, if she enters this final pain, if we're entering this, then it's because, and a brother brought this up a few weeks ago and I just loved it. Listen to this now, and I'm coming to a close here in a minute, I promise you. If she comes into her labor pains, if she comes to those final labor pains, as hard as it is a sign that that the seed has matured. Because she would not be having those pains unless the seed had come to maturity. See, well, man, I don't feel like I'm there, Brother Paul. Well, remember, we can't see all that God is doing within us. Can you say amen? You may be closer to the thing than what you realize. And the very fact that you're going through this type of pain shows that something inside of you has come to a maturity and is ready to be delivered. Amen. The very reason she's having it shows it's time. It's her hour. It's come to maturity. I pray that's the case with me. If I judge myself by what the devil thinks of me, it's not a good judgment. If I judge myself by what other people say about me sometimes, that's not a good, accurate thing. Can you say amen? If I judge myself by my own opinion, if I try to weigh out where I'm at in my progress and do all this stuff, you know, I know the Bible says, let a man examine himself when he comes to the communion table. Let a man examine himself, but he doesn't examine himself by himself. He examines himself by the Word of God. Because every man is right in his own eyes. But you see, you examine yourself constantly with the Word of God. And when He comes along sometimes and gives us an encouraging word this morning, is that if you're coming through times that you've never been through before and experiencing things like this, then that life has come to a place of maturity. If we're hitting this, it shows we're close. The travail is bad. It's I watched, like I said, my wife four times, and I hated that part for her. I actually wish that I could have taken that on for her. Every husband does, or he should. 4 times. And my wife, she was one of those unfortunate ones that had long labors, long, you know. And because of that, and I'm just being honest with you this morning, after those long labors, I didn't want her to have to suffer those long labors. I was questioning, you know, how many children should we have? Because I don't want to see my wife go through that. But, you know, that was my perspective. To a woman, you know, after every one, I would say to her, I said, maybe we should just, you know, keep it at one child. And she never was for it. She said, no. And that was surprising. I said, do you know what you've just been through? This is the difference in a mother and a father, you know. And so I asked after each one. And finally we got to the 4th one. And the doctor actually, he's seen some other things. And so he was making suggestions there after the 4th one. And so then when he said something and we prayed about it, then you know, she was on board. And so, but we're very happy for what God has given us, the 4 lovely children. But I'm telling you, I did not like being in there and watching all of that. And you know, today they have this thing. Natural types of surgery, they have an epidural. And, you know, there's always a debate when you should get the epidural. If you don't know, that eases the pain of labor. And all the sisters are just rejoicing that this new thing is here. But, you know, it's to ease the pain. So there's always a debate when you should get the epidural. And I heard on the radio the other day, it says that they've determined you should get it as soon as you find out you're pregnant. And just keep pumping yourself with it. But you know, natural types of spiritual, and you know, I'm not against these things naturally, because whatever, however medicine can help you, if you choose to go and do it by yourself, praise the Lord. Some mothers' labors aren't as bad. They just come right through it. 2 or 3 hours, they're in and out, bang, bang, bang. We got a sister at our church, Sister Bess. She had 8 children, 6 boys and 2 girls. And I was starting the church when she had her last 3. And so she started to have the last few at home by herself, you know, and I think she had a midwife come in and, you know, check afterwards. But she got good at this, you know, and it was still labor and pain, but, you know, she was great at it. And one day I heard she had the child, so I called her house and she answered the phone. She said, how you doing? I said, Sister Bess, I heard you had the baby. Yeah, I had him an hour or so ago. She's answering the phone. So, well, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. I was going, what can you teach my wife? I mean, what are you doing here? Sorry, hon. And my wife, she sets a hero. Every one of them, she's, I want to have this naturally. I don't want these epidurals and all that. So everyone, she's doing it. So she got it. And so I think the 3rd one was, I can't remember. But she said, listen. And we went through all the Lamaze classes, you know, how to breathe. And that's really all it ends up being. It's just yelling at her, telling her to breathe. That's all I got out of that, you know. And so we went to all this because we were going to do everything in our power for her to have this naturally. She wanted to have one of them naturally without any of this help. You know, she's going to do it. So we get into, I think it's the 3rd child. Hope you don't mind me saying this, son. I'm sorry. She's all turning red over there. We'll go for hot fudge cake later, and I'll make it more. So we prepare and we do everything with all the lessons that we're going to do this thing. And she tells you, she says, when I get to a point that is just to please encourage me, just help me stay with it. And so we got there that night and, you know, sure enough, it's ended up 5-10 hours. We're doing all the things, you know, she's going in a pool and we're doing all this stuff and it's all work. And then as time goes on, she gets more tense and all these other things. And she calls me over to the bed and she says, I think we probably should get some help. And I was doing what I was supposed to do. I just grabbed her hand and I said, honey, you know what you told me, you know, I just encourage you. You're going to do this. You're going to make it. We're going to have this baby for the first time naturally. We're going to do everything. And she grabbed and put her fingers in my shoulders. She looked up in mine. She says, Paul, get the doctor and get the shot. I said, but honey, you told me, get the doctor. I'm in trouble this morning. I'm telling you. I've never shared these things before. I'm in big trouble. Brother Barry, is there another motel room that I can get me for a couple nights? It's all part of this whole thing that Jesus said. You know what I'm preaching this morning? Jesus said here. And it's a type of the bride. Can you say amen? And I'm encouraged this morning to realize that if we're coming through these birth pains and labor pains and difficult times, this pain is going to produce something. No matter how hard it gets, this is going to produce something. No matter how, where I'm at or what I'm doing and what I've been through, a lot of you, if you had a testimony, you've been through some rough stuff. I hear stories that's so rough. If you grew up in this message, you even have some hard stories to tell. But all I can tell you is what Jesus said, that this pain and this hour has an end result that brings the greatest joy. Can you say amen? And what he says is true is that when they get that baby out and bring it up to the mother, it's what Jesus said is true is that she forgets all of her past pain. It's gone. Can you imagine a type of joy, friends, coming someday? How many is in joy today? How many has joy in your heart? Well, of course you do. But I'm here to tell you there's a joy still coming. And it's so powerful that once you enter into it, once you come to that final hour, every pain from the past, everything that you have been through will be erased. Oh, I want to be a part of that. It'll be erased where you can't even remember it anymore. It's as if it didn't even take place. That's why after my wife would have these long labors and I'd say to her, honey, you want to have another one? And she said, she's got that baby now. Oh, yes, I want to have 10 kids. You know, a man just can't get that wrapped around his head. What are you saying? You're not right. But she was right. Because it's what Jesus said. The joy is just so powerful that it erases all the pain. I like this. I like knowing that. Can you say amen? My wife holding that baby. There's nothing like watching that smile and that contentment and that, you know, her face may be red and all, but a different thing settles on her face. Christ makes it clear to us after these hours of sorrow, after these pain, after this trial, after this hour we're going through, get ready because this joy will erase all the pain before it. This feeling that a mother has when the child arrives is only a small taste, friends, of the kind of joy the bride will come to in her final hour. Will the musicians come? Can you imagine? Stay with me now. Don't look at the musicians. Can you imagine a moment coming? And for the bride, this is coming. It's down the road. Your hour of deliverance is here. Can you imagine a moment coming when you will never hear Satan's condemning voice in your ear again? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But the Bible says the accuser of our brethren will be cast down someday. The bride will no longer be able to hear that voice. Can you imagine not being able to hear that voice anymore? Can you imagine never feeling afraid ever again? Can you imagine never feeling pressure at all? Can you imagine never having uneasy feelings ever again? Only constant peace. Can you imagine never seeing a perverted world with perverted pictures and billboards? Never ever having to see that or feel that lust spirit again? Can you imagine young men being in a world where you never have to see those things again? I want to be in a world like that. Can I get an amen from these young men? They have a hard time in this hour, but I ought to get an amen for these young men. I can give my life. I can die out to myself here because there's a world coming. I won't have to deal with that anymore. The Holy Ghost will help you overcome here. You realize that. That is true. But still, even with walking with the Lord, we can't get away from the images that are placed in front of us. And I'm talking to you about entering into a place. We'll never, ever, ever have to have that struggle again. I ought to get an amen from the young man. Can you imagine never having an evil thought hit your thinking? Can you imagine never having relationships with mistrust? Such a joy that cannot remember the last few years, even on earth, probably can't remember any of it. What a way to walk into that other dimension where you realize you cannot remember the past pain, the past hurts, the past struggles. You can't remember because the joy is just so overwhelming. And you people that sit like a bump on a log when this choir is bringing the Holy Spirit down like it does. I believe you're elect, but I guarantee you, you're going to act different when you walk through into that other dimension. You know, I may act crazy, but listen, that all will affect all of us in some way. Can you say amen? Holy Ghost music, Holy Ghost filled by Holy Ghost filled people bringing the presence of the Lord. I think we ought to enjoy it. Can you say amen? I think we ought to praise the Lord in it. But I'll tell you, I believe that you'll get moving a bit when you come into this type of joy. Can you say amen? I believe that you'll get moving a bit. You can grab your mic, Brother Keith, and I want to sing that song. There's a light in the window, table spread with splendor. Someone's standing by the open door. I want to sing that together. If you stand to your feet this morning, I'm doing really good. It's 12, almost 12:30. I've done well. Praise the Lord. Did you get my subject this morning? Brother Barry, they got my subject. We got it. Now I need us to rejoice in the fact that when this travail is over, great joy awaits us. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Joy that no man can take from you, Jesus said. There's a light in the window. I've never been this homesick before. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning.
See the bright light shine, it's just about home time. I can see my Father standing at the door. This whole world's a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this whole. A light in the window, a table spread in splendor, someone's standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river, Lord, I must be near it forever, and I've never been this whole. About home time, I can see my Father standing at the door. Well, this whole world's a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Sweet faces, all familiar. No one's old or feeble anymore. For my lonesome heart is crying. Think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this home. See me. Oh, see the bright light.
I have so much joy today is because the joy that awaits me, it's already affecting me. Can you say amen? And so my answer would be, do you want to know where I'm going? Where I'm going? This isn't just a song. This is a reality.
I believe if Luther could lean over the banister of heaven, he'd say, come on up. Come on up to heaven. It's only a building. Leave it there. Come on up. He's made it. He's run the race. He's left his legacy behind. Let me tell you something. He'd be wanting us to be there, not here. As good as it is right now, good as it is in this moment and in this atmosphere, he'd be saying, come up there. Because eye has not even seen and ear has not even heard what's in store for God's people. We come to these hours. We come to these points in time. None of us can predict how things will feel, how things will be. We come to these times. But We're here, and God never leads you somewhere He doesn't prepare you for. He doesn't lead us anywhere where He doesn't equip us for. And so we have every confidence that in His will and in His providence, He'll get us all the way. And that's a blessing. That's just a wonderful, wonderful consolation for us to believe that and understand that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ah, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's Jesus I really want to see. We're going to slow it down. We're going to close in prayer this morning. And I just, what do you say? I mean, how do you quit? How do you stop? It's just good. It's just good. Won't be as good as it gets over there, but it's good. It's Jesus. Understanding and all of the trials we go through, you know what? We can do it as long as He's with us. We can do it as long as He walks beside us. to know that He's near, to know that He's there, and He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. You know what, friends? It isn't resting on my shoulders. He's taken the burden. He's committed to getting you there. Even more than you want to be there, He's committed to getting you there. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, everybody. We're going to give you instruction just in a moment here for lunch. But I'd like to sing that one more time, and I'd like to close in prayer. I'm going to ask Steve if he would come and close in prayer this evening, this morning. And I would just want you to sing this, because I want it just to sink down deep in your heart, and I want you to leave with this thought. That I'm going to make it not because I've got all my ducks in a row, but I'm going to make it because He's already said it. He's already written it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He didn't give you the option or say, I'm going to bring you in based on your conduct or your performance. He said, I'm going to bring you in even before you stepped a foot on the face of the earth. And if I go with that revelation in my heart, you know what? Tomorrow's going to be okay. Sister Molly, tomorrow's going to be okay. Sing it now with me.
Said, I think he said it in a quote. It sounds good. He said it. That you'd possibly be able to look over the banister of heaven and look down and just peek over the people who were there. Brother Luther meant a lot to each one of us. Now, there are many, if not all, are great men in our assembly. Many that I look up to personally. We had great men in our assembly, but Brother Luther, I believe if he could, I believe today, this morning, all this weekend, he was probably just peeking over the banister. Maybe he asked for special permission to do it more than once. I don't know. But maybe he was looking and just peeking over the banister of heaven. And if he could say anything to us, I think it would be something to the effect of, you guys are doing great. I can see the shimmer coming through. Just keep going. Don't stop. Just keep going. I believe he would say that to every single one of us. I really do. We deal with so much as believers. Just so much. Just don't stop. I believe he'd say that to you. Whatever you have to face this week, for the rest of your life, for whatever, don't stop. Just keep going and give it your best. If there's anything that Brother Luther's life says, it's that. And his legacy is screaming through to every single one of us. And that building is just a memorial of it. Keep going. And don't you stop. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with courage, renewed vigor, and a skip in our step, we press on toward the mark of the high calling. Let that be our legacy. How we love you and how we thank you. The food that we're going to eat, the good food we're going to eat, thank you. Bless it, sanctify it for our bodies. We appreciate it, we need it. For each other, thank you. For the legacy of a marvelous man that you created.
Thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated just for a moment. We're going to dismiss you, and we're going to take the time just to do a very informal and quick dedication prayer for this building over here. We're going to cut the ribbon, and we're going to have lunch together. And we're going to do that quickly because we recognize some people have to leave and drive a long distance. And so we'll do that. So if you don't mind, when we dismiss you, just go around the building, around this side of the building here, and there's a shelter back there if you haven't been back there, and just kind of gather under there, and I'll be there, and we'll let you come through those double doors and we cut the ribbon. Okay, so we're going to do that, and then immediately we're going to have folks line up for lunch, and we have a table set up for the Roy family. Some of the Roy, Sister Mary Ann is already here, and some of the family, so we're going to let them go. And we have a minister's table, and for the ministers and their wives. And Brother Paul is going to sit in a separate table over there from his wife. I'm only joking. And then we'll have everybody work their way through, and we'll have our visitors get through quickly, so in respect to those that are leaving. So when you're done, if you don't mind, just come on around, and then we have all afternoon to fellowship, all afternoon to talk and fellowship and sing and spend some time together. So again, I would like to say to all of you visitors, thank you so much for coming. You've made our weekend special. I would like to say to all the HBT folks, thank you for making our weekend special. Been so much labor and time spent and hours given and work done and above and beyond the call of duty. And I don't want to name anyone because it is probably very certain I'd miss somebody, and I don't want to do that, but we appreciate you all very, very much. And so on behalf of my wife and I, we just feel honored to be a part of the body of Christ here, and we just love you and appreciate you all very much. So let's sing I Feel Like Going On, and we'll have you stand to your feet, and we'll sing this morning as you leave together. God bless you. We'll meet you right there at the shelter, right behind. I feel like I feel like going on. Trials come, they come on every hand. I feel like going on. I feel like going on. I feel like going.